Lawmakers in Florida are looking into long-standing allegations that some farm labor camps there are running what one U.S. attorney calls modern-day slave operations. The workers are U.S. citizens. Most are homeless African-American men. Some say they were lured to the camps with the promise of good jobs, but wound up owing the boss most of their wages. NPR's Carrie Kahn reports.
To find pickers for northern Florida's potato and cabbage crops, crew bosses travel up and down the eastern seaboard recruiting workers. Among their favorite stops, homeless shelters and soup kitchens.
Have a seat and hold your ticket up. Give me five more up there at the door.
A supervisor stands at the entrance to the soup kitchen at the Clara White Mission in Jacksonville, ushering in the hundreds of men lined up for a hot meal. Several tell the same story. Out in the mission's parking lot, they're approached by recruiters in white vans, making promises of hot meals and steady work.
We're getting breakfast. It was on a Saturday morning, and they recruited me.
Ricky Langley is 48 years old, skinny and tall. He says last season, two men offered him $20 to ride out to their farm labor camp about 2 hours from town. They said the work would be light and the pay good.
They said I was going to be stacking. When they put it in the box, I was going to stack it. But when I got there, I had to go out in the field. So that was a lie.
Soon after reaching the camp, Langley said he was told he would have to pay for the van ride, $20 with interest. He also had to pay for food and board and any extras he bought from the camp store.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
A lot of people say that they also sell in drugs there.
Yeah, they do.
And that they pay you in drugs.
They do.
Did you do that?
If that's what you do, yeah. Yes, I did.
In debt to the boss, Langley says he had no other choice but to migrate with the crews into North Carolina. After 2 months, he got out. But it took several months of living on the streets before he could get enough money together for a bus ticket back to Jacksonville. Elton Campbell still hasn't been able to get home. He was recruited in North Carolina.
I was out of work, and I was walking down the street, and this van stopped by, and it said they had work and paid top pay and top money and have a stay in good living conditions and stuff. So I didn't have a job at the time, so I decided, I was listening to what the guy was talking about, and so I decided to try it out.
Campbell ended up in a farm labor camp in Hastings, Florida, dubbed by locals America's potato capital. Campbell says he was so far from town he had to buy his food from the camp's overpriced store, and any pay advances he took had to be repaid at 100% interest. Campbell says he got buried in debt and was housed with drug addicts who were paid in crack cocaine.
When you get paid, the boss man pay you, and then his right-hand man right there collecting his money for the drugs and for the other stuff right side by side.
Campbell says one night he finally sneaked out of the camp. He'd kept the card of a farm worker advocate and called her. Campbell is now suing the crew leader and grower. Lisa Butler, his lawyer with Florida Rural Legal Services, says stories of loan sharking, wage violations, and coercion are nothing new in northern Florida.
Paying people in cocaine, paying people in alcohol is illegal. And we are somewhat perplexed as to why some of these practices have continued without any interference by law enforcement for decades now.
Federal authorities say it's a priority to prosecute these cases of indentured servitude, but Assistant U.S. Attorney Doug Malloy says getting victims to come forward is not easy.
If you're enslaving homeless people or people with mental issues that you find under the bridges in Miami or in other metropolitan areas, they don't report themselves. They don't see an alternative. They don't see a way out. So it's very difficult to discover the crime.
It's also difficult to find the camps, like the one owned by Ephraim Campbell outside of Crescent City, Florida. It's down an isolated dirt road alongside the railroad tracks. The camp itself is one long building in a small clearing. With the season nearly over, there isn't much work left. The few men who remain in the camp try and stay out of the heat inside watching TV. Mike Sapp says Campbell wasn't a bad boss, never charged him 100% interest, but didn't pay well either.
And the first couple of weeks I got here was pretty good, you know, but and then when you don't get them 40 hours or over, you fall into a hole, you know, so.
Camp owner Ephraim Campbell didn't answer messages left at his home. According to local press reports, county officials have fined Campbell for past health violations, but follow-up inspections are rare. 45 miles north in Palatka, Ron Evans' camp has been inspected more often. Last month, federal agents raided it, and according to U.S. Attorney spokesman Steve Cole, officers found more than 100 rocks of crack cocaine. Evans was indicted for lying to labor authorities, but no charges have been filed in connection with the drugs. These days, the few workers left at the Evans camp make repairs and staple screens onto the windows of the bright yellow and red barracks. The compound is surrounded by a high fence topped with barbed wire. No one's willing to talk with a reporter.
If you have no statements or comments to make with the press or anything, you have to get with Mr. Evans' lawyer with that, okay?
Do you have a name and number?
No, I don't.
What's your name, ma'am?
I don't have to give you that either. Just get with the lawyer.
Evans' lawyer, Robert Willis, says his client has done nothing wrong, and he insists that local health officials have ranked the camp one of the best in northern Florida.
They compared, I don't know, a dozen or so camps, and he was well down the list of persons with whom they'd had problems. In fact, I think it was only a very small minority of the times that they'd been visited that there was any problems at all. So if you've been led to believe otherwise, I think you may have been misled.
Federal authorities are still investigating. A state senator held a town hall meeting this week, but nearly all the workers have moved on to other camps further north. Julia Castro sees the ones who stayed.
Hey, guys, you had lunch?
She heads a small assistance office in Crescent City, Florida. During the picking season, her group handed out more than 20,000 sandwiches to migrant camp workers. These days, she makes whole care packages for two stranded laborers.
You have a nice... Enough for a nice meal for about four, for 2 days.
Castro says she doesn't understand how after working the entire season, the men don't even have $13 for a bus ticket back to Jacksonville.
Watch out, it's heavy, so, okay?
Okay.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
The men thank her for the food, grab a few more candies from the dish on the counter, and start the 3-mile walk back to camp. Carrie Kahn, NPR News.
You can see the people and the places in this report at npr.org.